Welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we're doing a movie that it's actually kind of surprising that it's taken us over 500 episodes to get to, because this just feels like when you think, or at least when I think myself of like what I consider like those like top tier like kung fu martial arts movies, if you know, if someone asked you like, hey, if you're going to put together a list of 10, well, I would say the 1974 Street Fighter movie would definitely be one of those top 10 ones that would be on there. Like, that to me is like one of those all-time classic ones. But you know what? Better late than never. We're going to be talking about, you know, the good old Sonny Chiba, the Street Fighter.
Well, the thing with this movie is I remember being a kid, being like in middle school, and just getting into Street Fighter, the fighting game series. And seeing, oh, the Street Fighter, it's on HBO or whatever, and just clicking, like, this isn't Street Fighter, you know. And then just kind of like clicking off to something else, like whatever, you know, it's like a talking scene. And then later in life, coming across it when I was really getting into kung fu movies, like not much later in life, like high school, and buying those big packs of like they weren't that big, I guess they were big, but you could get them for like $15 or $20, like $15 or $20. Like 15 movies, one of those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
It would always be like Chinese Connection, a couple Bruce Lee ripoffs.
Bruce Lai.
Starring Bruce Lai. There'd be a couple different Sonny Chiba movies on there. Remember, the Street Fighter was on there. I'm like, okay. I know Sonny Chiba, he was the guy that was in that, in Kill Bill. So let me see what this is all about. And then watching the Street Fighter, and it's been a long time since I have seen this movie. Be like, oh man, this one is way fucking brutal than most martial arts movies I saw up to that point.
Yeah, well, I think that's almost the big thing that really like sets this one differently, because you know, being in 1974, you're literally coming off that time period where like everybody's kind of trying to do the Bruce Lee knockoffs and, you know, take that style and just run with it and so on. And when you look at this movie is so completely different than anything a Bruce Lee movie is. You know what I mean? Because even Sonny Chiba himself, like, he's not a good guy at all. Like, he's really just like a dastardly guy. I mean, he still does good things, but he's like that super anti-hero, kind of way before even the anti-hero character really existed and so on like that. You know, he's kind of more just in it for himself. He's also like, even though he's really good at martial arts, he still is kind of a fuck-up too at the same time. Like, he doesn't always win. He doesn't always, like, you know, get the right moves in and so on. And it's just one of those ones, like, I think that's what makes Sonny Chiba such an interesting character.
Well, the thing about his character, what's his character's name in this? Terry?
That's what they call him, Terry, in the American one. It was funny because I finally got like, because speaking of like, I always think of those like mix packs that we would get back in the day, and that's what I had. I had this one Street Fighter collection one that, I remember it had Street Fighter 1, and then it had two others afterwards, and when I finished watching this one for the very first time, I'm like, cool, it's going to have the sequel right on there, because I really need to see what happens. And it's like, nope, that sequel had nothing to do with it at all. And then it was like the sister Street Fighter. I'm like, well, that really had nothing to do with it at all. I mean, you know, it had, you know, Sonny Chiba in it. That's about the closest thing to it. So it was like one of those bizarre ones. It's like, what? That's not making any sense to me. But, you know, lo and behold, that was like the time period where we go search in pawn shops and find stuff. So after a couple searches there, I finally found The Return of the Street Fighter. And granted, that movie just kind of jumps to its own, like, storyline right off the bat, too. But, whatever. Long story short, I think it was Arrow released the Blu-ray super special editions, I guess you would say, of where they put together a real nice copy of, you know, the whole Street Fighter collection, and then I also bought the sister Street Fighter collection too, you know, and that was something that I always really wanted, because as much as I love this movie and so on, when you sometimes get those, like, mixtape kind of, like, kung fu DVD sets, you know, and I almost want to say all three of those movies were on one disc too, so the quality definitely was not there. So just being able to have a super good copy of it really does make a difference. And also having the Japanese dialogue in there, too.
That's got to be a whole other experience. Because even rewatching this, I only option to watch it with what I had was just dubbed.
Yep.
So, and I still enjoy these movies, even if they are dubbed. But,
and I will say, that dub actually isn't terrible. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's amazing, but it's like, I will say that dub's probably better than a lot of other dubs out there.
I don't know what it is, though. I'll say this real quick. I don't know, because this is the 70s, and not every actress was talking like, oh, my Lord, we broke the China. They don't talk like that. But every fucking dub, regardless of the female character, they always sound so dainty. Like, oh my word, like it's like night, like, and they're at a tea party in the 1920s, you know.
Well, I really do think that everybody who did voice acting in, like, the 70s was just a bunch of actors from, like, the 30s and 40s that, like, couldn't get a job anywhere else, but they could come in and do voice acting for kung fu movies. Because that's why all, like, the guys all sound like they're Humphrey Bogart-style acting and so on like that.
Listen here, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
me and Moxie will come down and rough the boys up if we have to.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a lot of holdover guys that just, like, you know, it's like, oh, shit, here's this new way. You know, you don't even have to, I mean, you're acting, but you're just sitting in front of a microphone, you know, and reading a script. Oh, I can do that. Doesn't pay that, well, but it's something.
Well, even the thing with this movie, just going back to this rather than the dub aspect of it, it is one of those things. We're watching it and being surprised by how violent it is, and then retroactively looking into seeing all the big effects this movie had. This was the first movie that came to America rated X solely for violence.
Yeah, because everything else was a porno pretty much beforehand, and then this was the first movie to have it for being an action, you know, violent movie.
Yeah, it wasn't getting any, like, wide normal release, and it wasn't, like, you know, they're trying to, for years, they're trying to get the uncensored version over to America, and it was this fabled thing. People saying how gruesome and bloody this movie is, they take so much of it out. Like, nearly every fight scene was chopped down. It's like, what the fuck? You know, I heard he rips a guy's dick off in this movie.
I think it was released when it was rated X, it was uncensored. So, like, in 74, if you would have caught it right off the bat, it was. And then I think when it was kind of re-released, I don't know, maybe 76, somewhere around there. I know the VHS copy in the 80s had the censored one. Then they turned it to an R-rated movie, and they literally cut 16 minutes out of the movie. That's a lot.
Out of an hour and 30-minute movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so watching this, and also it created the Mortal Kombat owes a lot to this movie. It created the X-ray destruction, like, skull destruction, like, shots.
Yeah, you know, it kind of has, like, in a sense, the fatality. And then, yeah, that X-ray thing that, you know, wouldn't even be used in Mortal Kombat till Mortal Kombat, like, 9, you know. This is, like, the first and one of the probably only times I've ever really seen in a movie. I'm surprised it actually never... I mean, there's probably... If you look hard enough, there's probably other kind of knockoffs and so on that use it. But, like, you don't see that very often where, like, Sonny Chiba literally jumps up and punches this dude in the skull, and it cuts to, like, an X-ray of his skull kind of, like, shattering, and then blood shoots out of his mouth. It's so badass.
Yeah, this thing is... Because you're right. He is, like... It's interesting. Like, I don't want to get off topic too much. I wish in the 1980s Frank Miller made a comic starring Sonny Chiba, because this feels like a Frank Miller character to a certain extent.
It really is, because it's like, that's why I think it makes it so kind of cool. It's just like how kind of broken this guy is, and he's good at what he does, but like he is kind of messing up along the way too, and he's not perfect at, you know, doing stuff, even though it's like, you know, he has this real big upbringing. There's even like a flashback at one point where like it literally shows him as like a kid, and I think it's like World War II or something like that in China, and he's kind of like this half Chinese, half Japanese guy, because like his dad went over to China to like kind of combined karate and like Chinese kung fu together, so he's like very forerunning. He's like the other proto Bruce Lee.
Yeah. Well, it's also like it brings in this aspect that's kind of to a certain extent about a man who's more or less just an animal, kind of slowly getting his humanity back. Not like to become exactly a great person by the end, but at least a better person, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because there's even that part, too. It's like, I think it's the very beginning. Like, that's the part where he's almost kind of on this job to, like, save these people's brother and whatnot like that. And he doesn't end up saving him. And so on, and then later in the story, just or a little bit later, like they like the sister and the other brother come to his house and be like, "Yo, dude, what the fuck? Like you were supposed to get him," and so on, like that. You know, it's like, oh, and I think he's dead. That's what happens, right? God, I'm drawing a blank already.
No, he couldn't save him because he couldn't. It was too risky having him in the having him be in Japan, like hiding a wanted fugitive. So, he had the guy sent to Hong Kong.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, so he does that, and then those guys kind of come in and, like, kind of be like, hey, you know, but here's the thing, like, we don't have the money to pay you for doing all this kind of stuff, and, like, could you just do it all the goodness of your heart? So, like, so I was like, oh, that's how it's gonna fucking be then. So like they just get in this like, you know, fight right in the apartment and so on like that, going to the point where, you know, back and forth, and then the brother goes a flying judo kick and just like Sonny Chiba ducks and he shoots right out the window and falls like, you know, 15 stories down, just head explodes, blood goes everywhere and so on like that. And then, you know, of course the sister starts jumping in and fighting too, and then literally Sonny Chiba pretty much knocks her out, and then she gets... I don't think it's Sonny Chiba that necessarily gets her, like...
He just basically trades her over. I mean, what else are they going to do?
Yeah.
But he's like... He goes to, like, a known crime boss. He's like, I got a woman here. What will you get me for it? You know? And then...
Yeah, well, it's like he needs to get paid for the job. You know what I mean? He's got to make rent. He's got his problems of his own to take care of.
He's got his own startup. He's an entrepreneur. You know?
He's got his goofy, you know, best friend that lives with him, you know, who's the comic relief.
That guy feels like he stumbled into the wrong movie. Like, what is his character? That character's name is Ratface, at least in the American version.
Yeah, the American. What the? I like it. Like the Japanese version, he's got like a, well, I don't know, at least sounds like a much more normal name. It's like, what is it? I know it's in here somewhere. It's just like Rakuta and stuff. And that's just what it was. Once like American looking Rakuta. It sounds like Rat Nose to me. That's what you're gonna be called from now on, buddy.
Well, it's like, yeah, well, like that right there. And then the whole thing with it, though, is, like, this guy is so, like, I'll be your best friend. Like, he's almost like LeFou. That's real. He's basically, like, LeFou to this guy.
He really is.
Gaston. And he's, like, just such, like, a fucking, like, hapless dope who wants to help out his best friend in air quotes. And at the end of the day, though, he just doesn't give a shit, you know? And things play a certain way as time goes on. But for a minute, you're like, what is this guy doing with this crazy, cold-blooded fuck? Because the whole thing is, like, when he sells the lady off, we're like, we're not meant to like him, but at the same time, I give the movie credit for the idea of, like, here's somebody that's going to be hard to root for, yet this is the guy we're following. So
yeah.
Try to keep up. You know, like, that idea right there. And I thought that was interesting way to go about it.
I mean, it's totally like, you know, that 70s style character where it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, they're not really the greatest person or someone like that, but at the same time, like, they'll almost end up doing it's kind of, you know, no different than Robert De Niro, I guess you would say, even in Taxi Driver. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Robert De Niro's one of those guys who makes a lot of weird decisions and so on like that, but at the end of the day, he does, you know, save the day, I guess. You know what I mean? That's sort of how it kind of goes.
Yeah, exactly. So this movie kind of works out in that way too. I mean, there's a lot more action. The thing is about the action, though, is usually you'd tell me, like, this is a kung fu movie and it's rated R. Like, okay, maybe at some point someone pulls out a sword and gets stabbed or whatever. But you don't really... Most martial arts movies, maybe nowadays you could have the exception, but most martial arts movies don't get as violent as this. I mean, movies that are like fists, not swords, but fists.
Yeah.
They usually don't get to the level of like a dude getting his throat ripped out like this, or a dude getting his balls ripped off, or x-ray shots of like their head getting shattered, then blood shooting out their mouth.
Yeah, or eyes getting poked in with fingers and so on like that, you know, just in blood, you know, left and right. Yeah, because it's one of those ones, because most martial arts movies, because even if they are kind of rated R movies, it's like, they're not rated R for generally violence. You know, it sounds kind of weird. It's like, they're rated R because there's probably either some nudity or language, you know what I mean? Or it's got like DMX swearing, you know, one of those kind of, that's like the reason why it's rated R. You know, but if you took out like all the swearing and maybe the nudity or whatever that was, you'd be like, oh, it's a straight up PG-13 movie no matter what. You know, it's no different than like Rush Hour maybe, but you know.
Not this one.
Yeah, not this one. This is that one where it's like, I feel like that was sort of the thing, because it's funny because like Sonny Chiba, like in an interview, he was like, well, at first I was like, well, this is way too violent. So I'm like, he's like, that's not really what karate's about and so on like that. But he's like, but the studio, that's what they wanted. And it's probably they just wanted something like completely radical and different and like, you know, ballsy. You know, to kind of go up to be, hey, this is going to be the next big thing in martial arts films. Let's stand out as much as possible.
Something that I heard, I don't know how true it is, because I couldn't find anything of it other than this one random video. But apparently this movie is meant to be somewhat of a metaphor for cancer. Because at the time, I guess it wasn't, like, you weren't supposed to tell, like, I don't know how true this is. This is just me over here and from like a video, because I was just trying to do a little bit more research on this movie. And this movie is kind of hard to do research for to a certain extent, just because even though it's, I'm sure there's a lot of articles on it, so many things pop up about Street Fighter, the video game series. So,
yeah, that probably makes it hard. I mean, even on the new one, it's just like the only special features it kind of had is it had a big, fat, 30-minute long, like, Sonny Chiba interview.
Yeah, and I'd like to see that.
It was pretty good, actually.
All I have of this movie is, like, the cheap, like, bargain bin basement quality, like, DVD. So I would like to get, like, one of those, like... I'm not sure if they'd have a Criterion collection of this, but something like that.
I mean, it's like the what I always call like the next level
closest thing to
because
it.
So there's Criterion, and then there's like the ones that are like they're still pretty good, but maybe they don't have as
Shout.
Much. Yeah, it's from Shout, and then there's Arrow, and there's Arrow's actually almost up there. Shit, they got a $50 Django original version that has like four discs and so on. I'm like, oh my gosh, I almost kind of want that.
Saving for Wedding or Django? What's it going to be?
Like, shit, I paid $50 for that fucking Waterworld, like, extra hour expanded one that they had with all, like, the bells and whistles, too. I'm like, I don't know.
There's examples. Oh, yeah, so I have no idea how accurate this is, but apparently, I guess, it was considered to be, just their words, dishonorable to like acknowledge you have cancer or something like that, and I don't know if that's true. This is just going off that video.
See in the olden days, it's almost like that sounds like a very Japanese thing. You don't acknowledge, in a sense, a weakness.
Yeah, but at the same time, I also don't want to be like a white guy, like, oh, you know, it's probably like honor or some shit like that, and then having like a Japanese or an Asian listener, like, oh, always comes back this honor horse shit, you know?
Well, it is honor, but still, it always comes back to it.
But anyway, so apparently that there is a big, like, you know, people are getting cancer, and they didn't know they had cancer until they're basically on their deathbed, and how... there's all these people of all these different ages and races and whatnot. Because even though the movie's mostly Japanese, you have a couple of white people. You have that one poor black dude. Like, you know, then they have a couple other people in the movie. And he keeps on the very gruesome scenes. It's like, okay, here's him ripping someone's eyes out. So, you know, like neural cancer or something like that. Here's him ripping the dude's dick off, like, okay, or balls off, like testicular cancer. Like bone cancer, this and like all these different. Like, I'm not sure how accurate this thing is.
That sounds like a guy who did a little too much drugs in the 70s and went to go watch this movie.
No, he was definitely one of those film school types, but who knows? It was just like one of those things where I'm like, maybe. I don't know, but that's an interesting take right there. But I couldn't find anything other than that video talking about it.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm not going to like 100% rule that out, but that sounds. Those always sound like those things that sounds way more complicated than anybody who created it would probably put into there. You know what I mean?
Like, I guess the idea that there's this thing that people underestimate, they keep on overlooking, and it's basically killing them all brutally in ways you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, exactly. That also sounds like one of those ways, like, okay, keep this in our back pocket, so if it comes up that this movie's a little too violent, we'll pull this card out of them, and they'll be like, yeah, so cancer's that bad, huh? Yeah, you got a problem with cancer? Because you got a problem with our movie. Our movie's all pro-saving cancer, you know what I mean? Just saying, you know? We're fighting the power here, you know? That almost sounds like one of those things, too. Be like, you know, just keep it in there. It's like...
Wow, it's so deep. Yeah, I guess it is, anyway.
Yeah.
The fight scenes.
So, how about that money we just made recently on opening weekend?
Well, for being a movie that is just, like, very punch, murder and all that, it does have, like... there is surprisingly more going on than you'd expect. Even especially, like, just bringing in kind of, like, you know, like, acknowledging Japan's past with China. Because, you know, he is, going back to what you said earlier, how he is half Chinese, half Japanese, and his father got killed right in front of him via firing squad because of, you know, sleeping with a Chinese woman. And there's even that part where, when he has that flashback... he's like, he wants to prove himself to, like, this other dojo. Because he knows that, because basically after word gets around, he sells that lady off. And then that dude says to someone else, hey, you're looking for someone to get some work done? Well, this guy just did a job for me, and he did a pretty good fucking job. So, and these other people right here made some money off him too. So why don't you look into this right here? And basically a oil baron just died, and the heiress... he's like, oh, no, me? I'm just a college student. I got all this money now. So now she's a target for a lot of people. And their plan is to kidnap her, paying Sonny Chiba, But they don't want to pay him up front, so he's like, well, fuck you guys. And then he just decides to go work. It's almost kind of like a Fistful of Dollars thing to a certain extent. Well, I'm going to go work for the other guys now and let them know all your secrets. And that puts a target on his back for these guys.
And I almost want to say Sonny Chiba had something like once he kind of realizes, like, oh, it's a bunch of Yakuza guys? Well, fuck this. I ain't doing it. Like, I'm bad, but I ain't that bad.
Oh, that's right. It was Yakuza. That's what it was.
Because yeah. It's almost that kind of thing, like, he's like, yeah, you know what? I might do some shady things to get some, you know, money to pay the rent, but, you know, I ain't going to work for the Yakuza.
Well, I might sell a woman to the Yakuza, but God forbid I work for the Yakuza.
Shit, she owed me $5,000. You know what? Fuck that bitch. Yeah, her brother's fucking dead in my front yard, but still.
He's still there. Ratface said, should I clean it up? Like, you don't have to rush to that one.
No. Shit.
Just put a garden gnome next to him. Take the focus away from him.
They got American Golf on TV. I got more important things to watch right now.
I'm still watching how the Americans dub Speed Racer. It's funny as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so it's like, it kind of does that. But that scene's really cool, though, where he's at, like, the karate dojo and whatnot, and he kind of fights through all these guys, and then there's, you know, the head sensei there and whatnot, and they have this battle. And it's one of those ones, too, that, like, it's one of those ones Sonny Chiba thinks he's going to win because, you know, he kind of kicked a bunch of the other guy's ass, and then this guy kind of hands him over and whatnot, knocks him down a couple times, and Sonny Chiba can't really do much. He's using his breathing techniques and so on to kind of get back in the fight, but that's where that flashback kind of comes, because the guy's like, you look like a man that I once knew who went to China and whatnot. And it kind of goes in the Chinese part there. And then it's almost like there's this kind of like narration of like Sonny Chiba's father kind of talking to him. Be like, never be weak. Always be strong. Don't let that fat karate master push you around.
Well, even that guy. So going to that, like, I appreciate the fat karate master because how often, whenever there's a fat guy in any karate or kung fu movie, he's either the cowardly businessman, the dopey fat fuck friend who gets knocked down the stairs, or just like the dopey like oaf like henchman who's always getting he's always there but always getting knocked out the first. I liked how this guy was like, dude, maybe you didn't know this, but fat boys fuck too, you know. So
well, and I think I do think that is really kind of cool because it is that thing where it's like he's that guy, he's husky. But that doesn't mean that he can't be very athletic, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that kind of, this movie almost kind of shows almost, you know, in a sense, like, I guess you would say what people would perceive as, like, weakness, like, on screen or as a character, and then changes it around.
I appreciate that about this movie, yeah. And then you always have, like, you know, so there's things like with that character, which he's not in it that much, but that scene he's in where he gives all that exposition, like, dude, your dad, who dad of the firing squad, that's my best friend back in China. Bro, yeah. Bring it in. Yeah, join my dojo, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like that, and I think it's like, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I got this, you know, like, niece or something. Because somehow I feel like she was related to him, the oil baron princess.
Yeah, I think there is either best friends or, like, there's a relation of some sort.
Probably all, yeah, you know, remember the war in China? Yeah, we used to all party together.
Yeah, when that part, yeah, so when that guy comes in, like, because I did, that did throw me off guard, because I kind of forgot about that character. And I was like, oh yeah, this guy fucking, it kind of ends at sort of a standstill, or maybe he even beats him. But it was like, okay, cool. So he's not all undefeatable. Because even though I like Bruce Lee movies, not every Bruce Lee movie, but most of the Bruce Lee movies more than this one, I do appreciate that Terry could lose, or Sonny Chiba could lose.
Yeah, that's what I think kind of makes it kind of neat. Because, you know, Bruce Lee almost just has that thing in his movies that, like, he's just almost a little too good. And that's not saying anything against Bruce Lee movies because, you know, they are amazing. But, you know, when you got to be somebody other than Bruce Lee, it's like, how about you show a flawed, broken character and his way of having to overcome, you know, what he has to deal with. And, yeah, that's the thing. It's almost like, I feel like that karate match, if that match would have went on, I don't think Sonny Chiba still would have won. But it's just like they almost like got, like, honor and respect for each other.
Yeah. And from there, he starts being a little bit more kind of respectable and kind of like showing a little bit more. He's still kind of a wild animal to some people.
Yeah.
What I do kind of like, though, basically anybody in this movie, I will say, this does have that warrior's code thing. Because anybody with any power who doesn't fight, they're very hateable. And you're very happy when they die. Like, there's that one chick who's in the business lady, the Yakuza lady, dressed in red, always talking shit.
Yep, carry a gun.
Yeah, exactly. There's when anybody who carries a gun and is trying to call the shots in this movie, they go out of their way to make them like some of the most dislikable characters in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like one of those ones, like, it's like, no. You don't bring a, you know, a gun to a, you know, a karate fight.
Well, even that part, when he fucking kills her, we don't see it, but you know it's fucking brutal. Her gun ends out. He throws it, like, you know, he has, like, those gauntlets, and it has those little, like, throwing needles or knives. And then, like, gets in her hand. She runs, and she trips over a couch. Even though she's behind the couch, he, like, just flat out, just way more than you expect. See his hand down, like, okay, so he's probably just choking her out. Then brings his fist down, you hear a scream. Then his fist comes up, then his, like, leg twists, and he's like, ah! Like, and, like, scream gets even louder. Like, shit, he did not go easy on her.
Yeah, just a super fatality. Like, almost he does, like, the Bruce Lee jump onto her and, like, you know, kind of cracks and smashes. And then, like, yeah, brings his fist up and, like, I don't know, maybe just punches her straight through the skull. I'm not too sure, but I'm thinking that's almost kind of what it's like.
It's probably something out of it. Probably wrote something really elaborate in their budget. Like, dude, we can't do that. Or I didn't do behind the couch.
Yeah, it's either that, or I do kind of wonder if they'd be like, okay, whoa, you know, breaking another dude's, you know, skull, but like, what about a lady? Like, oh, fuck it. The safe way is just to do it. We'll have her flip over the couch. One, it'll save us money on, like, special effects. And two, just in case anybody does, you know, be like, well, it's kind of censored.
Yeah. Well, even that kind of leads, like, I was getting real. I wonder if Metal Gear Solid 2 pulled inspiration. I know it's not an oil rig, but I was still getting Metal Gear Solid 2 vibes from the whole oil rig scene, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That does kind of have that feeling there, and when he's doing that big old battle up there and whatnot. But there's even, like, I guess going a little bit farther back, there's another part, too, was once, like, the oil baron lady gets kind of captured and whatnot, and that's where Sonny Chiba first goes to kind of save her. But it's another one of those ones where he gets in there and he saves her, and then, you know, he sends, you know, his, you know, buddy, whatever, they go take her in the boat away, but he still gets kind of, like, captured right there by, I guess, like, you know, that main sort of villain guy. The guy who's, like, I think is the Chinese kind of gangster guy crossed over now. Because I think that's when they go to China. They go to China for, like, a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a Chinese gangster who's looking for a new protege. Which, and at some point when they're trying to, I remember at some point when the heiress is trying to escape, they're what's the word I'm looking for? I forget the word, but they're basically tricked and, like, caught by the, oh, they're caught by what looks like the guy from, like, you ever see the beginning of, like, Scooby-Doo, and they have the different stills of different monsters, and there's the one, like, green-faced zombie-looking guy?
Oh, yeah.
Dude looks just fucking like that. The guy that was pretending to be blind looks just like that fucking guy.
Dude, he does, yeah. The guy, he's almost kind of like a blind samurai, which is actually kind of a cool character in a sense.
Has the Javier Bardem haircut from No Country for Old Men.
Yep. Yes, he does. Yeah, because it's like that. That's where we get that there and so on. And then that's also, I think, in that Chinese kind of like fortress, whatever they kind of go break into for a moment at that guy's place. That's where we do see the sister from that, you know, Sonny Chiba's, you know, sold off for, you know, rent. Her other brother, who finally comes out of hiding or whatnot in China, is like, yo, what the fuck? Like, you know, the place I work at happens to be the place that, like, my, you know, my own sister's on sale, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, here's the thing. I'll fucking kill Sonny Chiba for you if you let me take my sister, like, home or whatnot. And he's like, okay, whatever. Yeah, sure, that
works.
Like, sounds like a deal.
And that dude's, because in the beginning, they say, like, oh, we would like to, one day I'd like to have a battle with you to the death, and Sonny Chiba has, like, this Warriors Code thing with him, like, maybe one day we will be able to do that, but first you have to survive this, you know, and then he punches him, that's gonna, like, make him, like, in a few minutes go into a coma so people think he's dead so they can take him to the hospital so then he can get him out of there. We forgot to mention that part.
Oh, yeah, but, I forgot, because he has that special tactic right there that he uses.
But then when they're fighting on the tanker, and that's the final boss of the movie. Like, you don't feel like it's going to be the final boss, but it's the final boss of the movie. And then there's the part where, you know, he's about to kill Sonny Chiba, and Sonny Chiba grabs part of his chin. You're like, okay, so he's going to choke him, and then you see his fingers go in, and blood just start to pour. He's ripping his fucking throat out?
Yeah, like, all way before Roadhouse, it's like, there's his throat getting ripped out here, and it's way more violent in this one than even Roadhouse is.
Because it holds. Roadhouse, he just, like, turns, flips, and he has, like, a chunk of, he has, like, a steak with ketchup in his hand.
Yeah.
You know, this, it's like, you see the fingers go in, and yeah, it's a prosthetic. But you see the fingers go in, and you see the pull, and you see the blood start to pour. And then, as he's laying there, you see the chunk of meat in his hands as he's looking at it, and just stare. It holds on it for a minute.
Yeah, exactly. That part's just so brutal. But that whole scene right there, like, the whole build-up to it, because it's like, you know, Sonny Chiba comes on this, like, you know, tanker or whatnot, and he's just fighting guys off left and right, and so on, battling his way through. I mean, it's like a 20-minute, like, kung fu scene, at least. You know, battling his way through, kicking ass, so on, takes that lady out with the gun and whatnot, building all the way up. And then, like, when it gets to, like, that kind of last kind of fights or whatever, that thing's kind of cool, because then it starts raining really hard, and it's like really windy, and I even like, because Sonny Chiba takes his jacket off and he just like stretches his arm out and lets it go, and it just flies off screen. Just looks so bad. It's almost like, I'll say, it's very anime-ish right there.
Yeah, this movie does have a lot of anime. I feel like this really inspired Fist of the North Star,
you know. And then it's just, but it is kind of weird when you think about, like who's the main villain in this movie, in a sense, is literally the guy that you see at the beginning that he's saving is going to be the guy that he fights at the very end.
Which, that is a cool concept, and the idea, and they both have reasonable motivations to want to go against each other. But the whole thing with that whole part at the end, I also like, because there's the Chinese crime lord who's there, and you see that, like, the Japanese and, like, the, I think the Russian crime lord or whatever are there too, and they want to try, like, let's just end this. And they're about to shoot Sonny Chiba. And that dude has a knife, has like a dagger, and he kills him because he's like, no, no, that's my next protege, you know, and then just loses it, kills those guys. So it's like, okay, so there's a little bit more. He doesn't say that, but you could see that's what's kind of he's thinking about. And it kind of, I have a it's confession time. It's confession time. I've never seen the second Street Fighter. It was a movie, I plan on watching it, and I was really like, oh, wow, I can't wait to watch the next Street Fighter. Then you told me they don't follow up with what happens at the end. Like, they don't? Well, I'll watch it a little later. And now here we are 10 years later.
So. Yeah. Well, I kid you not, the very first time I watched this movie, because I will say this movie's a little bit convoluted. Like, it's almost like I feel like I've kind of got it more, because it's probably about the third time I've seen it. Like, I definitely understand more. Like, I remember seeing it at the very end, and then, like, you know, that battle sort of happens, and, you know, I mean, I guess breaking it down, it's like, you know, he fights the guy that he met at the beginning, the brother, whatnot, kind of avenging there. There's even the part where, like, the sister finally comes out, and then she starts fighting again, too, and then she even does a thing where she, like, literally holds on to, like, the handrail, like, and has Sonny Chiba pinned up there. She's like, stab it, you know, take the sigh and stab it through both of us. I will make the sacrifice. And it does, and, you know, it kills her, but it only goes through Sonny Chiba so much, so he's still kind of fine. So it is just, like, this such a brutal, this family is just, that girl is so screwed over. Like, not only does, like, you know, she at first doesn't think she gets her, you know, brother back. Then her other brother gets fucking thrown out of a fucking window by his own accord, of course. But, and then she gets sold into, you know, sex slavery at a Chinese, like, gangster's place. And then to top it off, she still gets murdered and doesn't even get, like, the sacrifice she was making for.
Well, even that part, I'll say that part I thought was fucking stupid. I guess they're looking for a way to get rid of her. But at the same time, like, okay, you're doing this whole thing. You did this whole thing. I know you're trying to avenge your brother. Maybe just kind of, we actually kind of hate each other. We just like the one brother, you know? maybe that's how it is. Because they're both fine with dying for one another right there. It's like, you think you'd be wanting to, like, wait, you just got me out of prison. I can't let something happen to my little sister. No, I'll sacrifice myself so you can kind of stab him. Like, all right, cool. I guess that works.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, the logic of that part I thought was kind of fucking stupid. I guess they're just looking for, like, she was guilt-ridden, and they're just looking for a way to get that character out of it. But I did feel bad for her, and earlier I was saying, like, that poor black dude in the movie, but, like, I mean, it's just, well, he is a fucking rapist. He is a big-time rapist. They get a point of that a couple times, which,
yeah.
But at the same time, just, like, getting your nuts ripped off, like, raw by Sonny Chiba, like, shit, that's one way to go.
I feel like that's the public service announcement, like, kids, don't go raping, or Sonny Chiba will find you.
Exactly. Just a picture of Sonny Chiba with just a bloody fist, like, looking around, like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's sort of, like, what it was, but,
there's
but, yeah.
A creepy old man, like, on a bench, like, leaning in creepily to a little kid who looks nervous, and behind him, Sonny Chiba's coming up with, like, holding, like, a pair of nuts in his hand.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that, but, I guess what was in a long, roundabout way to get to it. Getting back to that kind of final battle and everything, I remember the very first time I saw this movie, because it does the thing where, like, right when he defeats the guy from the very beginning, the brother and so on like that, and then the Chinese guy kills you know, the other two gangster guys, and then it's just them left there with the oil baroness lady. It was just like, it just cuts to like the end. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, the first time I saw him, like, isn't that Chinese gangster guy supposed to be the final battle of it and so on like that? Like, what the hell's up with that? Like, it really threw me off. I'm like, is that just where it ends and just says, see you next movie? You know, but in watching it over again, it's kind of like, oh, no, I kind of get it. That guy almost said he wasn't going to fight him whatsoever because now he found his new, you know, protege and so on. And now it actually makes more sense for it to kind of end like that. I mean, it is still, like, the most ultra-abrupt 70s, you know, cutoff ending. Guy's defeated. Cut the credits.
Yeah, very, very Death Proof in that aspect.
Yeah.
Or Death Proof.
Death Proof, because I would say that, like, that always just feels like 70s movies. That's like Hills Have Eyes and, you know, all those kind of feelings. There's more like that, but, you know, villain gets killed, credits.
I will say that the action is well paced and well, placed in the movie. Uh-huh. But when you get to that tanker, it's just, like, non-stop. It just keeps fucking going. Like, I was watching the movie, and I was like, I'm enjoying this movie. It's good. Like, I remember it, but I'm trying to remember what it was that, like, really stood out to me, other than a couple of moments of intense violence. Ultra-violence,
yeah.
Alex from Clockwork Orange would say. But once you get to that tanker, from there on in, it's kind of like, okay, this was already a good movie, but this just knocked it, like, a few levels up. Just because it's just so nonstop, and he's just, like, been put through the ringer by this point, and he's just this angry rabbit animal killing everything in his sight.
Yeah, and I think that's just sort of the thing, too, is just, like, it's, like, people just get really, like, I mean, just, like, limbs get snapped, people are, like, in real, like, painful-looking holds, and so on. Like, it's just, I think that's what makes it kind of cool, is it's just not just, like, punching and kicking. It's, like, it's very brutal feeling and very just, like, this guy coming in and just, like, nothing's going to stop him. And, like, no matter how much he kind of gets hit and taken down, he still can kind of carry on. I mean, he's shot, he's stabbed, you know what I mean? And he's still going.
He, like, flips that one dude over the railing, and that dude's face smashes on the ground in a massive puddle of, like, bright pink blood, you know?
Yeah, no, it's got that, like, really cool 70s blood that I know there's certain people that don't like that kind of stuff. I don't know. To me, it's always, like, there's, like, a nostalgicness of it where it's just had that super vibrant, like, almost just looks like someone just dropped a paint can.
Yeah, and that's what they probably did. They probably just, like, just pour the whole can, right? The whole can.
You know what
that's
I mean?
The one thing we're not low on in this budget. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, no, it's like, yeah, that's the thing, is that the fights in here, I just, like, that's what I really like about it. I just really, they are really badass in this movie, you know, and I think that's kind of it. It's almost that thing that, like, they don't need to be super stylized. It's just, they're more just have that, like, gnarly take to it.
Yeah, yeah. No, this movie, it's been some time. It's been at least probably, like, at least maybe 10 years since I've watched it. But I'm glad we covered it for the show, because it was one of those movies. I remember being good. I remember really liking it. And then, like, watching it, like, two or three more times, maybe. And then here we are now. Like, oh, fuck, that's right. I've just been, like, on a real, like, retro, like, movies I watched a lot in my early 20s. I've been on a lot of big vibe for that lately, especially after watching True Romance. And when he's watching
the Street Fighter Marathon,
the Street Fighter Marathon at the movie theater, and he's like, "So who's the bad guy? Is he the good guy?" He's like, "Well, he's not really a good guy. He's a guy paid to fuck people up." But yeah,
yeah, because that's like that thing too, where it's like that was almost that one. I remember his Sonny Chiba kind of mentioned that, like, in the special features. He was like, "Yeah," he's like, when Tarantino, like, first kind of, you know, wrote that script, and I think when he was on tour with, like, Reservoir Dogs and so on, he came to Japan, and he was looking for me hardcore, like, all over the place. He didn't know that I was actually in America at the moment, but...
Aww.
He's like, but we met up later on and so on, and he kind of, like, you know, he told me about the scene in True Romance and everything and so on. He's like, when that came out, I went and saw it, and I was like, wow, I didn't know the kids were still into my movies and so on like that.
He still, for a while, he pops up even in, like, what, Tokyo Drift, doesn't he? Basically, if there's an American, after, like, Kill Bill, if there was an American movie that took place in Japan, we had to have a Japanese guy, it was either Sonny Chiba or the principal from Battle Royale. It was one of those two, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because I think that's sort of it. I think, like many things in life, it's like Tarantino definitely does bring those kind of, like, great actors, like, way back in the spotlight, and he can almost make them just, like, really stand out again. And that kind of, I think, really kind of gave a little bit of a boost for Sonny Chiba, you know. Just, for, you know, for that moment there in Silwan, you know, because... I will say that also in America, I mean, I think it sounds like the most strangest, bizarre thing, but I think for future generations, I really do think Street Fighter... the game literally leads you into that movie, because I mean, how many people do you think went out and, you know, were playing Street Fighter 2 and then all of a sudden they see this Street Fighter movie and like, oh, I wonder what this is, and they watch it, you know, maybe thinking that maybe this is what the Street Fighter the game is based off of or something like that, and then they just find, well, maybe that's not what it is, but here's this amazing movie that I would have never known about without it.
I imagine Ron Howard's Grand Theft Auto had to have the same effect.
I always think so. Well, my favorite part, too, is when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out and it was in that popularity, and maybe Vice City might have been right out around there, too, is, like, they had sort of, like, a re-release of Grand Theft Auto, and it literally had, like, the almost, not exactly, but it kind of had a Grand Theft Auto-looking type cover that they, like, sort of redid for it.
To try and trick kids.
Yeah, exactly, because I think that's sort of what it was. And, you know, all that movie is, it's like, you know, Ron Howard and his, you know, group of crazy teenagers decide to steal a stock car and run away from the law.
Yeah, and then what was the other, like, oh, and to give credit where it's due, the other actor I was talking about that's kind of similar to Sonny Chiba in American movies, Takeshi Kitano.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
That's his name. He played Aramaki in the Ghost in the Shell live-action remake. Anyway, there's a bunch of other stuff too, of course, but yeah. What was I going to say? No, yeah, I remember, well, that's also that thing, like, whenever they would have, like, a movie, like, it couldn't even be similar name, but if it was in a similar genre, they would almost alter it to make it look, to fit the style of that movie. Because remember when Enemies at the Gate first came out, like, not first came out, when they had, like, when Inglorious Bastards came out, they re-released and... Yeah, Enemies at the Gate on DVD, but they gave it, like, this Tarantino-esque look. Like, it had, like, Jude Law and the dude who doesn't fire a gun, other than on himself, standing there in the battlefield looking badass, you know? And then, like, I remember if you turn the back, there's bullet holes in there, and then, like, the font was kind of tilted, and, like, looked mangled, you know? So, it's like, oh, yeah, I see what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I know, because it's funny, because I have that one on Blu-ray, that version of it, and then I have, like, the original DVD copy of it. It's like, they're so completely different looking, like, it doesn't look like that's even the same Enemy at the Gates. It looks like that's, like, a 20-year difference. It just happens to have the same title.
Yeah. So there's always, that's always kind of funny. So there definitely had to be someone like, some like, somebody like put out, maybe, I don't know, early 90s, maybe not, because they probably wouldn't even know what Street Fighter fucking was. So.
Yeah, because I'm kind of surprised, because, you know what, the weird thing is, because Street Fighter, the Sonny Chiba movies, it's in the public domain because it didn't get like, that they just didn't do the copyright over again, so that's why it's kind of a, you know, a free-for-all. So it's, by that standard, I'm surprised. I mean, maybe somebody has done it, but, you know, since anybody can release it, shit, we could go out and release it by this standard. We should just make a fucking Street Fighter 2-looking cover, but it's the Sonny Chiba instead.
Just put a red headband around Sonny Chiba digitally, you know?
Yeah, you do it like that. Honestly, if you almost, like, went the full distance and you kind of did, like, a... If you almost had somebody, you did, like, a cool, like, you know, detailed, like, almost, like, 70s-looking character poster, you know? Like, that one where it's, like, you know, very nicely illustrated and action-packed, almost more action-packed-looking than even the movies sometimes are on some of those cases. And then, but it has, like, the Street Fighter 2 font, almost, and kind of, like, that sort of look with, like, the wings and everything.
There's sometimes those intricacies that a search engine won't be able to get. Like, I'm looking for, like, a Mario Brothers Batman mashup picture. Like, okay, all right. You're like, well, Street Fighter and Street Fighter 1974? I don't know, you know? And then, like, what are you going to get with that? You're looking for something like Street Fighter, but in the stylings of Street Fighter. Like, well, shit, this is going to... How am I going to explain this to Googlebot, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I almost want to say that, like, the Japanese title for it, well, I mean, like, it's pronounced in Japanese and whatnot, but, like...
Fist of Death or something.
Yeah, it's like Fist of Death or something, which really actually is like, well, that sounds like what the movie is. But I will say, at the same time, Street Fighter almost even works as a good title for it anyways, because it does kind of feel like, hey, you got this guy who's, you know, just this kind of, you know, wild animal out there who just, like, terrorizing around and so on. He fights, you know, dirty and so on. He's the Street Fighter. Like, it does make kind of sense.
Well, I like how one of the posters, it's like Sonny Chiba, his shirt ripped open, he's fighting a bunch of guys, there's one random girl with her shirt off suddenly, like, running away, like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, just like that one, just like, you know, just like, hey, it's action, there's sex, there's Sonny Chiba. Is it really sexy?
You can tell that's the American, you can tell that's the American poster.
Yeah, exactly, you know what I mean, but, yeah, just like that kind of stuff, just the way to sell it and so on, but, but yeah, no, overall,
you should have a
like,
Pizza Boys cover like that.
I know, that's exactly, well, that's pretty much what I did with the Pizza Boys, like the where we make the Kung Fu movies, or the Kung Fu Mowgli one, is just like, yeah. I give it that thing where it just looks like this way action-packed, like, 70s, like, one, there's so much shit going on in the cover, that you're like, wait, mm-hmm. what's going on here? There's, like, car chases, and, you know, big boss gangsters, and there's, like, a lady coming out of a tub and whatnot, like... All those
Does it happen in the movie? Well, no. Hopefully it will. hopefully it will.
That's how I felt like it kind of works in that way where it's like, well, those ones, because sometimes you see those covers, and there's certain movies where it's like, you go to watch them, and it's not nowhere near as cool as that cover was.
Yeah.
Which is so funny how, like, you can have a singular shot that goes like, that looks so amazing. One frame that's amazing, and then you have an entire hour and a half movie, and like, you had an entire hour and a half to make that one picture awesome, and you didn't even achieve that. but yeah, no, this actually makes me look forward to actually kind of watching more, because it's like, I bought that set and I haven't watched the rest of them yet or anything like that, because it was like, well, I'm waiting for the podcast and we'll do that. I watched the Sister Street Fighter again already, but now it's like, yeah, go through all the rest
is
of
that those. Is that just his sister, or is it
it's really, it's like, I feel like it's only in that for name. It's got Sonny Chiba in there and so on, but I almost want to say he's not even like the same character. It's just Sonny Chiba, okay. And then he's got this lady he's like training and so on. I'll say the movie itself's really fucking good though. Like, okay. It and that one's like, it's got great fucking action in it. That lady who's in there does a fantastic job. Let's see. What was I going to say? That one has almost like a very like hardcore, almost like anime feel to it too, because the characters are like really almost like kind of cartoonish, but like in a cool way.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I might have to check that one out down the line too. Yeah. Glad we retreaded this one for the show, and I'm surprised we did it. So this seems like something we would have covered probably like within like the first 2 years of the show, but here we are now.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's one of those weird ones where it's like, like, oh, yeah, it's like, why do we... Yeah, well, that's just sometimes how those kind of things are. You think you're going to kind of get around to it, and then, yeah, it's just, lo and behold, just time goes by, and then, yeah, you never get... You just don't get to do it, but I did actually want to say this really quickly. Actually, the chick that's in the Street Fighter, the chick that gets sold off in the sex slavery or whatever, that's the chick that actually stars in the Sister Street Fighter trilogy.
Oh, really?
I really just think it's just a name, and who knows? Maybe in Japan it probably even has a completely different name.
Yeah. Well, it's like how they were trying to present Return of the Dragon as a sequel to Way of the Dragon, even though they have completely different names in that movie. And so it's like... Wait. Was it Return? No. They're trying to present Return of the Dragon as a sequel to Enter the Dragon, where in Japan... No, in China, it was called Way of the Dragon.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think that's the thing, is it, like, it kind of has, it's just like, hey, we'll make it sell better over here, because I think, because, you know, Street Fighter was such a big thing, so, but, but yeah, that one's really fun, too. Yeah, I mean, gosh, it's kind of fun just to go back to all these kind of, in a sense, I feel like those movies that, like, when you first get really into filmmaking and you start kind of chasing down all these, like, you know, these big movies that you kind of hear about and you just kind of follow, like, the... You know, the traveling message of them and so on. I guess even back in the olden days, too, when you used to go out and search physically in stores and so on for lots of this stuff. Like, it takes me back to kind of find some of those movies.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what we're doing next, but, yeah. I'm glad we've been kind of covering a lot of these old action genre movies, like Once Upon a Time in the West and this and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly, because to me, these are some of always my... That's, I don't know, 60s, 70s movies and so on like that... Such a good time, so much fun to be had, and so on. But yeah, we'll kind of cherry pick some more movies throughout time in there, and kind of get in the groove of that, and so on. But beyond all that fun stuff, I guess you can always go to oldmanorange.com for more podcasts, comic books like Pizza Boys, old animations, and all that fun stuff. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes,
and I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.